Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in studio today is Brian Malkowitz, Travis Northup.
How you doing?
You're our reviewer for IGN.
Sure am.
And via Skype, Paul Tassi from Forbes. Paul Tassi, thank you for joining us yet again. We got you a glass of water, and the mic is really close so that we can hear you clearly, just in case people watching were wondering. This episode of Fireteam Chat, we brought a guest, we brought a reviewer, because we're going to be talking about our first impressions of the game. We've all completed the story, we're all sort of in the end game, and we're in the grind. This is our first reaction. There might be semi-spoilery stuff. I don't think we'll get too nitty-gritty into the details of the story, but if you are sensitive to spoilers, I recommend finishing the campaign at least before you watch this particular episode. So you've been warned. Let's get into it. We're going to be talking about what we thought of the story. We're going to be talking about our cool post-game quests. We're going to be talking about how much that server outage was a bummer. The Power Engram grind improvement, how we feel about that. Armor 2.0. And we're going to talk about the finishers. Let's start with the finishers really quick. They're really fun. I love the finishers. Brian, do you like them?
They're fun, yes. Mm-hmm. But after a while, I'm just like, eh.
The range for execution is so long. I'll be like, oh, there's a boss halfway across the room. You just hit that finisher button, and lunges.
The range is long, but I worry about the
vulnerability period.
Not the vulnerability, but I'm talking more of so when I actually start diving into Armor 2.0, because I'm not really right now, because you know I'm still grinding and getting the gear that I want before I get to the light to like a proper light level before power level before I get to where I want to start using Armor 2.0, but I just see some of the things that like require half your super or a third of your super, and I'm just like, I'm not sure I want to do that for a finisher.
So when you talk about finishers and pairing them with Armor 2.0, then you sort of get into the nitty-gritty. The animations and this new execution thing, how do you feel about them, Travis?
I love them, but they do feel very not Destiny-ish. Like every time I do one, I'm like, what game am I playing? Like how it kind of like shades out the background and slows it down. It looks like a Mortal Kombat animation.
I call them fatalities.
That's what they remind me of.
I love them. Paul, are you having fun with them, or are they annoying at this point?
No, I like them. They're more tactically useful than I thought they'd be. Like you can kind of execute someone that a regular melee wouldn't have finished off. And I think you can execute people through shields, like if their shield is regenerated. The sooner they get a randomizer in, so you can like rotate through a bunch of different ones, the better. I am worried about when they start using up your super, because if there's no way to turn that off, then you can really not use them as often as you want, because they'll just be sapping all your super energy every time you do it.
Yeah.
So that seems kind of weird to me.
I mean, in order for them to utilize any of your super, you have to equip the mod, so just don't equip that mod.
If you want that mod equipped, but you don't want it to take half of your super to give special ammo or heavy ammo, you just want to execute some low-level enemy just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
But if you have that mod equipped...
Yeah. Just don't do it.
Yeah,
just
but
don't
I mean, like,
do the execution.
That seems bad. I don't like that system. I don't think they should cost super energy. I think they might... tone that down eventually. We'll see.
It's for like the brick, like the heavy brick, right? So you're trading super for heavy.
Yeah, don't take half of my super.
I'm interested to see how it develops as like a mechanic, because obviously it's a cool thing to have in the game, just like visually, and it's like, I did that, awesome, I'm a titan and I just punched a guy away. But I'm interested to see like how it evolves in terms of like, are we going to see exotics that like have their own, you know, finishers or give different effects when you use a finisher.
Yeah, so actually, I know you're playing a Titan, right?
I am, yep.
So I'm manning a Hunter, and at the end, you do get an exotic helmet that does do some cool stuff, and finisher is sort of attached to that, but you can use melee also if you don't want to use a finisher. So they do specify that finishers are basically considered a melee.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can do this flourish thing and get some passive buffs as opposed to nerfs. Now, I'm actually glad you brought up Armor 2.0. So largely, we just all grinded yesterday. We're pretty tired today. You know, reaction episode. I want to get it while it was fresh. Have any of you even used Armor 2.0? I have no desire to even turn it on. So you have.
I have.
You
yeah,
have.
Extensively.
Why and what did you do?
Yeah, so my first line of business was to just, like, see if I could make the ultimate, like, PvP build.
Yeah.
So I just got in there and, you know, there's, like, that point management system where each mod costs a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to kind of, like, min-max with that just for using hand cannons, essentially.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
That sort of thing. Like,
And for our viewers, you're Xbox.
I am.
Right? You're an Xbox main. Finally got an Xbox guy back on the show. Nice.
I know. Replacing Sean.
Yeah. We got an Xbox guy, got a PlayStation guy, and PC bros over here.
PC bros.
Yep. Yeah. You were also Xbox too, right?
I was Xbox before I just made the switch to PC.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, now hopefully we'll all kind of intermingle.
Yeah. With crossplay has been pretty cool. I actually hopped on Xbox before and tried it out. It was neat. So back to your Armor 2.0 build, though, you hopped into PvP, tried it out. How did it go? Did you like it? Did you see an effect?
No. So it's kind of too early to tell, I think. And that might just be because I'm not, like, I don't think anybody's really good at using it right now. And also, I haven't really gotten to the point where, like, you're leveling it up to where you can get 10 power on each armor. Because I think at the start, it's like 5.
Yeah.
And you're pretty limited in what you can do. Like, some mods are like 5 power. And so it's just like, okay, cool. So it's just that. But I think once we've all got, like, our ultimate masterworked armor with, like, 10 slots of power for those mods, it's going to be awesome. So
yeah. Paul, have you messed around with that at all? Sorry, Travis.
I mean, not really. I just don't know what to commit to at this point.
Yeah.
And, like, with the drops, like, I don't know what mods are assigned to which element type. Like, I don't really even know what with the number bars, like, what's a good spread and what's a bad spread, really. So I don't want to invest that many materials into leveling up anything until I kind of have a better sense of all of it. And I mean, I'm mostly just reskinning everything to be Eververse stuff and just try not to look like a complete mess for the time being. And also, I haven't found that many mods. Like, you start with a couple, and there's, like, a base kind of unlock system where there's a few, but I only have, like, the first tier of the artifact mods, which are all about, like, getting glimmer on Minotaur kills and stuff that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And then I think I bought, like, a pulse rifle loader from Banshee, but I only have, like, 5 or 6 total mods. So like Bungie said, it is going to take quite a while to kind of fully get into the system, which is why you wanted to keep your good sets around for a while.
Yeah. Mod wise, Brian and I are tryhards, and we stacked bounties on all 3 of our characters. So we got a ton of mod unlocks on our artifact, but we haven't really utilized them yet.
No, just because, like, I haven't done any activities in Shadowkeep that require the barrier mods to take down those
tonight,
enemies.
Tonight we'll probably hop into Nightfall 920 and we'll need them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, like, we stacked a lot of the weapon mods that, you know, Reddit had a thread going. Make sure you have all these weapon mods. So we have a lot of the base stuff. We have a lot of the free stuff. But again, I haven't put anything on my armor because right now I'm still on the power grind trying to get ready for Saturday's raid. I think things are really going to settle for this post game sort of grindy stuff later. We'll talk a little bit about the cool quests and stuff, but I think sort of that nitty-gritty building things are going to be later items that we'll be discussing. One thing a lot of people discovered is that if you just have, like, 5,000 Crucible tokens and 5,000 Vanguard tokens, you can literally just go to those vendors and level up to 900 fast.
Yeah.
I actually don't recommend that. So I see all these videos, 900 super fast. Don't do that. Just play through the campaign because All the blues and everything, they're going to be pushing you towards the 900 cap, and I would actually recommend that you just do that. There's not a ton of reasoning to get stuff that early.
The blues are very generous.
They're like seven or eight of them.
They're very generous. So you're gonna level up very fast, and then you're gonna want those tokens later on if you want to burn them to try to get good armor 2.0 stuff.
Yeah, and isn't there a max that they're allowing for the raid anyway? So there's not even really a reason to like power level at this point.
920. Right? If you're 920 or higher, then you don't get a benefit. But those vendors are gonna max out at 900 anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Brian and I are around 910.
I am 907.
Yeah, so most of our raid crews really hitting a wall at around 900 power. Yeah. And obviously, yes, we're going to talk about story. I wanted to give people a chance to talk about mechanics before we got into the spoilery stuff that people would be sensitive to. That's why I'm focusing on this nitty-gritty thing.
Can we talk about the UI?
Yeah, go for it.
The UI is fantastic. I mean, that was like my biggest complaint with the most recent season is they made some changes to the UI and they weren't all like that well executed. But the quests system in the new expansion, Shadowkeep, is great. And just like the level of detail you can get going through your menu is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like just information and like flavor text. And
yeah. All that stuff. Everything has been expanded on. They changed the the progression system?
Power.
No, the one where you unlock like points, the score. What is that?
Glory?
God, I can't believe I'm blanking on this.
And you're reviewing
in your triumphs. You go to your triumphs.
Where you get
different tiers.
There's too many terms for things in Destiny. It's very easy to get confused. But
if you forget one of the three, the thousand exotics in the game, because it's like 125 per character.
Yep.
And so that's like 1, 2, 3, that's like 500. Anyway, people get really mad if you forget the name of Wave Splitter.
Sorry, guys.
That wasn't a Wave Splitter. It was World Line Zero.
Oh, World Line
World
Zero.
Line
yeah.
Zero.
Don't do that.
Anyway. I like the changes they made to the Triumph system where they made it easier to kind of track and get progress as you go is really cool. And then even the stuff like the season progression is nice. I mean, that whole system we can talk about later, but I like the way it looks.
the visual aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
The season pass. So I got the season pass. Paul, I assume all of us got the season pass, right? Mm-hmm. Paul? You there?
Seems like there's some lag.
Paul, can you hear us?
Sorry, you keep Skype keeps skipping.
One second. So, I'm gonna turn Wi-Fi off.
We're gonna have to.
It's getting a little stuttery on my end.
You there? Is this better?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so Skype was prioritizing Wi-Fi. It's fixed now. Anyway, so what I was asking was, I lost my train of thought there.
Man, something about season. You asked him if he has a season pass.
Oh yeah. What do you think of the season pass? Do you have it, and are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I think don't you have to have it if you're playing Shadowkeep? Well, it's mandatory.
Yeah, you get the base one,
if you're a free player, you don't.
It's impossible to even not have the premium one at this point. But I like it a lot. It was cool to just kind of start out with. You're getting the upgrade modules right away, and like so you can infuse gear like once you get to 900 pretty easily, and I don't know about getting the hand cannon at level one. That seems
that was
a little bit of gimme.
And
like the full armor set coming, like I probably would have rather just earned that as time goes on. But what I like about it is now that I'm gonna go start on my other characters, like I don't really feel like I'm as behind now because at least I'm still pouring experience into the same battle pass across all three characters. So between that and the artifact, I feel like I'm constantly making progress, even if I feel like I'm kind of just retracing my steps or power grinding in a way the game really hasn't seen before. Because before it's like XP was just for bright engrams and that's it. But now it feels like it has a real purpose. And it feels like it's going to take a lot of work to get to the high tiers of the season ranks. So.
Yeah. If you dump your weapons on your alts and then just do the story, your blues will get you to 900 on your armor. Yeah. And then you still have this whole avenue of progression, with your power engrams. So you're going to have a big advantage if you do that with your alts, and especially with the token, like you can do the tokens. It still takes a while. You don't like if you have all 900 weapons, you're still only going to be in the 800s. You won't just get your first blue drop at
900.
At 900. I actually tested it. I tested it this morning because the way they phrase it in the TWAB is that all drops should be 0 to 3 below your highest equipable weapon. So I put a 907 primary on, and that's not quite how it works. You still kind of got to power up. Yeah. I'm going to continue to test it. But I was like, oh, okay, so I don't just start getting 900 drops because I have a 900 primary. It's still sort of based on your character level. One of my biggest critiques talking about the UI mm-hmm. is when you mouse over, it says, here's your power level. Here's where you're at with the additional power from the artifact once you hit rank 7 in the season pass. But they don't tell you how close you are in any way to ranking up with just your default armor set. So, like, if I'm, like, two light away...
Yeah, they took that away. I didn't like that.
Yeah, they just tell me where I'm at with my progression XP-wise on the artifact. They don't tell me how close I am to leveling up just defaultly, you know, and that's one.
Why did they take that away? That's so weird.
Yeah. Weird. That's a UI thing that was there before that is now gone.
I imagine that they looked at it because Destiny's UI is pretty clean.
Yeah.
And they probably saw, man, a second bar in this same menu would probably just look terrible. So they thought that I imagine that they thought that XP bar instead of the progress bar to your next light is more valuable.
Yeah.
Than that bar. But
I still want it. Yeah, I want it back.
I do. I want it back too. Yeah, because I was looking for it.
Yeah, everything they're doing is making Destiny more nerdy, right?
Yes. Like
they're adding math, they're adding RPG elements. Yeah, I think you were there when we asked a few years ago, Luke Smith, and he said his secret objective was to make Destiny just like a full RPG as much as possible. And so I think they should just embrace it. Like add as many bars as we need. Like we're already there. Like there's 6 stats just on armor alone. Like just do it.
I don't care how much XP I have. I would just keep your XP progress on the artifact.
Yeah,
I already have that data on the artifact. I don't know what my base armor is at on when you mouse over your character level.
True.
So it's like redundant info as opposed to helpful info. You know, like there is another location for that. Real quick. So 900 is the soft cap, and man, that is a wall. What a wall. It's like you hit 900, now the game starts. Let's go. Let's talk about one thing that I really liked, and I want to get your guys' take on. I love how they changed power engrams. There is no way that you can get power. Well, if you like get your clan XP all the way up, you can still pop them early. Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
They set this barrier so that you can't get powerful engrams before you hit 900. And I really, really appreciate that, and I really, really like that. What was your guys' take? I think this is really smart. It feels fairly natural. It took me a little bit to figure out. I'm like, so how do I get power? Like, I can't go to 8 anymore. I can't do Gambit anymore.
I think we were used to. I think we were used to the last like 3 seasons of content where like you're in the end game, and so like all those powerful rewards are available to you. One thing that I didn't take account in is like when you're playing Shadowkeep, you're not in the end game anymore. It's like kind of like a reset. So all those like powerful rewards kind of disappear for a minute until you get to that cap and they're like, okay, put it back into play and go get it. And it's,
Yeah. And I like that a lot. What about you, Travis?
I loved it. Yeah. I think that what they're doing is really smart, trying to like actually get people to play the game rather than game it. Mm-hmm. Although people are already finding ways to just like cheese.
Like the token thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's like a boss you can kill on the moon that just like keeps respawning and he always drops like something 7 power. I think you saw that on Reddit. Like it's just
I found him myself. I knew about that and didn't say anything.
You weren't supposed to say anything.
Thanks,
guys.
Reddit.
By the time this goes live, everybody will be 900.
Again, it's just a blue drop though. So everybody is like figuring out this game and they're all like focused on the blues. And I'm like, I don't care about that. That's easy. Just play the story. You'll be 900 by the time you're done with the story.
There's nothing special you have to do to get 900.
900 is just the soft cap. Like you play normally and you get 900. There's no rush to get there.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
That process was a little weird. Just the sheer speed of getting from 750 to 900 was just crazy. Like because you're just decked out all in blues. You're swapping out every single drop you get. Like I get that they're probably there to give like new light players something to do if they're just playing other stuff because they want progress. But It felt a little superfluous, and it's kind of weird to get to that soft cap in literally like what 6 hours or something. It's not that hard, but I don't know how I feel about the new powerful drops. Like I like the fact like what you said about how they don't kick in until you're at 900 and then you can start earning them. However, with all the sources now, like I think now we've gone from 1 weekly crucible source to now there's 3 weekly crucible sources.
Well, wait, what's the third one? I know there's 2
bounties.
The bounty progress,
That's technically like 3 crucible sources, then like 2 gambit, I think 2 vanguard, and I feel like it's upped a lot of stuff with gambit and crucible at the expense of other stuff like from the season for the annual pass that was more PvE and like it was more diversity. So now I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but I am kind of already missing a lot of those sources. Not maybe because of the speed, just because of the diversity.
Yeah. Has anybody found out if Menagerie still drops powerful?
Oh, I haven't tried that.
I have not tried that.
I have not looked. I don't think it does. I think anything from the previous season is low level. So the way you rank up is...
Gambit's the only thing.
Yeah, there's Gambit. There is the Vanguard bounties, and the Vanguard do X strikes with the power sword, the appropriate plus burn. Nightfall. There's Nightfall, but yeah, so that's a drop. And then Daily Stories are still there. Nightmare Hunts. Yeah. So there's plenty of ways to get powerful drops, and just look for that icon on your screen. I have a lot of old drops that I haven't picked up, and I'm kind of like, well, okay, if I get throttled in my primary, I'll pull Mountaintop finally. By the way, I got Mountaintop, and I'm pretty stoked.
Oh, so you haven't pulled it yet?
I didn't pull it yet.
Are you sure? Have you been watching it? Is it scaling up?
It scales up, but okay. It drops with that 0 to 3 below your highest power, so I'm just waiting to get throttled in that particular... Yeah. Avenue, and then I'll pop that one if I need to just bump myself like a power level or two higher.
Can we talk about
what they're doing with Ikora, because they took away her weekly like powerful, and now she's just
they're giving her Vex stuff.
She has stuff in your annual pass. There is a consumable you can pick up, and I believe you give them to her, and then she gives you bounties. I actually happen to see it in our preview event.
Oh, cool!
But I think they unlock at a later time.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I felt like ever since Destiny 2 came out, she's just been like less and less and less and less.
Yeah.
Just a blank screen. When you go to
like okay, just nothing here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's a lot of the system stuff. We're gonna get into a little bit more spoilery stuff. I feel like the launch went totally smooth. There were no problems.
I got in. I beat the game within two hours.
There was no disc. No, just kidding. There was a massive server outage for hours. It was terrible.
I feel like I had a unique bug that I could not find anywhere on the internet. Like I was trying to find like other people to see if they had a solution for it. But I had this weird like error where me and a couple people went into the game, and we got through the entirety of the opening mission for Shadowkeep, and then at the end of it, it would bug and kick us to orbit, give us the next quest step. But then I had to keep looping that mission because the moon would never update to allow me to go there. Mm-hmm. It would just tell me to keep playing that mission, and I had to do it 5 times in a row before I had to like reset my modem and restart my computer, and then I finally got through it, and it let me do the next part of the mission.
Well, I could
not find a solution for it online. It was weird.
For me, when I hit the server outage, because I played for a long time, I got to stand a little bit longer than other people. Then Bungie's like, "We're shutting them down. We're rebooting." Right. I literally listened to the entire Shadowkeep soundtrack and just chilled. Oh, Paul Tassi's having Skype issues. So anyway, I literally listened to the entirety of the soundtrack, and then I tried signing back in again and just listened to the whole soundtrack, and then finally got back in. And then it was fine. Mm-hmm. Like whatever animal got in there and started pulling out plugs or whatever, they found him and got that weasel out of there. And then it's been pretty smooth for me. So I'm curious. We had that major blip for Bungie, and that just sucks. Well, that's still bad with still... New Light and everything going on. They hit crazy concurrent numbers. Like, I think they broke records.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, have you guys had any problems since the major server?
Just residual stuff, like API stuff. Like, I can't get into...
Dim is back up.
Is Dim...
Like, as 10 minutes before this show.
Okay, oh, yeah. Wow. So, yeah. Like 20 minutes before this show, I haven't... Yeah. I wasn't able to use any of the, like, companion apps or Dim or Ishtar or anything like that.
Yeah. What about you?
I had a issue with the Circle of Bones quest for the rocket launcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where, you know, when you get the skull at the, spoilers, at the end of it.
By the way. Oh, just in case.
Great. Sorry about that. Where you get the skull at the end, I picked up the skull, and then it was just like, nope. And I had to redo the mission 3 times. So just weird stuff like that. Like, there are some glitches in this, which is kind of unusual. You know, they've always had server issues, but glitches is kind of new.
What about you, Paul? Skype might be skipping for Paul.
I've had no... Yeah.
We're having weird internet issues
Skype
here.
Skype skipped a little bit for me.
Sorry.
But I have had no technical issues with Destiny 4. Can you hear me?
This is a Bungie server problem. We're going to blame Bungie
server. We're talking about Bungie server issues, and here we are having our own.
It honestly seems like IGN's having some network infrastructure issues because I have the laptop hardline, so I keep turning Wi-Fi on and off, and I apologize to any of our listeners. But Paul, if you can hear us, let us know how your connectivity has been.
I can hear you. It's just, it's stuttery.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah. So it's been smooth for you, though?
Ever since the 3 hour downtime, it's fine after that. So I haven't had any more
any
more issues. Okay. What else? So let's sort of get into cool post game quests and story stuff. So this is spoiler warning for real. Try and keep it spoiler free if you can, so that I don't know. We're gonna do our best.
But that's kind of hard. Yeah. Like, let's talk about story.
All right,
but
here we go.
No spoilers.
Spoiler right now. There's a giant freaking pyramid, and I am so happy that they finally started to tie up some of the loose story ends. And I really, really like the conclusion of the campaign and how they handled it.
Well,
but
conclusion.
Because, like, at the end,
it seems like there's more coming.
Yeah, there seems like there's more coming. But that's like always the thing in Destiny. Is like there's something coming. There's always something coming. And I didn't, there was no conclusion in this campaign, really. It was just like, cool. Well, when the campaign was over, I didn't realize it because it didn't feel like an ending. Mm-hmm. I was just like, where's the next quest step?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
I thought I ran to Eris. Like, where's the next? Yeah. What do I do now? But it's just the end.
So you sort of felt the same way. It's kind of was like,
totally. It kind of leads straight into an exotic quest. Like once the wraps, it goes straight into the first exotic quest, which has like some story to it, but it's not directly connected to the main story.
Yeah, it's not like a big narrative. So I thought that was kind of disappointing with me for Shadowkeep is that it just didn't feel like there was some sort of resolution to what we were doing.
It went from like the coolest thing ever, like you're in the pyramid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, spoilers.
You're in the pyramid. So,
you know, like, you go to the Black Garden and you have that cool moment, and then it just drops you back in on the moon, and you're like, what, how did I get here? Like,
and then it seems like story progress is tied to like the exotics and stuff. So like the quest that you're on, there is a major story beat in there, and I was like, this is so cool.
Oh, see, I haven't gotten through that yet, so don't spoil that.
No, you got it. No, Brian, you're at the same spot I am.
I haven't gotten a cutscene.
It's not a cutscene. You go to Eris and you pick it up.
Well, there you go.
And a thing.
Oh,
happens.
Okay.
I got that. Really cool because you learn more about Eris and et cetera. So I like that a lot. And I like how the quests, like ghosts, one of my favorite things is I found one of the dead ghost things. Like I gave her the bounty. She gives me a dead ghost bounty. I found the dead ghost. And then the ghost like plays some dialogue from its life and tells you a little bit about like what its experience was. And I'm like, that is so much better than reading a piece of grimoire. Like, that is excellent. Like, I know it's just like a ghost that flies away, but I thought it was really cool. That's been my experience with the post game stuff. What about you guys? Like, Brian, how do you feel about post game grinding and story stuff?
I haven't gotten too deep into it because, like I said, we're just at the same spot with the Deathbringer exotic quest. So I haven't really dove too much in post game and stuff like that. So I'm just excited to pump into that.
Yeah. It's good. Paul, your connection looks stable, so I'll go to you next.
It's better. All right.
Well, I spoke too soon. Go for it.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do my best to power through. For me, it's kind of about separating story from atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I think the game gets its atmosphere really, really big. The whole Moon's Haunted thing, like it was a meme, but it works really well.
Yeah.
Just because it's like genuinely spooky as you're going through. And you have just like random ghosts shouting things at you from their patrol beacons.
It's creepy, yeah.
That was really creepy. Like Toland has storytelling stuff where you can talk to him a bunch of times and things. But the like I like stuff in that it's cool the pyramids are here now, but the actual story connected to it is mostly about like Eris has this really bad idea to go inside
the pyramid.
It's like the gist of the whole story. I'm like, what? This is a terrible idea. Why would you go inside the pyramid? It's like beckoning you to come. It's clearly
evil.
It's like, it's just annoying. Go check it out. Like, that seems odd, but you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There are moments that really land, like when you first see the pyramid or when you get warped off the ledge and you get sucked into it. Those are really cool. But in terms of like what actually happened in the story, it's like, we went inside a pyramid we weren't supposed to.
And, like, basically.
That's kind of it. So it's not really like a Forsaken level story, which I wasn't really expecting, but I think the smaller stories that tell, the more subtle ones are better than the kind of overall campaign narrative.
It kind of felt like the first act of a story.
Yes, it did. And I'm kind of wondering if that's intentional.
It is, because I mean they've already said that like they want seasons to be, you know, directly related to what came before, so it's kind of just like wrapping up that story. But I hope that I'm more hoping that there's actual resolutions in each story.
What I think would be great is if they use the rest of the season to actually like drop campaign missions. Like maybe after we beat the raid, there's more campaign, you know, like we've done like a second act or
that might be it because they did that with Dreaming City.
Exactly.
Right?
There's a dungeon coming out like 2 weeks from now. So maybe that will, you know, that's what I'm hoping, is that this is the first act and they've actually hidden the campaign throughout the rest of the expansion.
Yeah, there's still a lot we don't know coming.
I think they're doing that with the Vex stuff, because like there hasn't been 1 second of anything with the Vex narrative. I haven't even shot a Vex yet.
Oh, yeah. That's all starts during the raid and on the 5th with the Vex offensive starts. So,
yeah. I think that's everything I wanted to cover. Travis, as a reviewer, and then we'll say our impressions as I fight with Skype, which keeps doing whatever it's doing.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Thanks a lot, Skype. Never sponsor this show. Thanks.
Sponsor.
But anyway, so what's your take on it? How are you feeling about it? What's the good and the bad?
I think it's good. But it's one of those things where it's, you know, it's very brief. For this sort of, it's the annual release, and we're kind of used to stuff like Forsaken, which was huge, and even Destiny 2's campaign, you know, was pretty substantial. And this feels more like what you'd expect from the in-between season expansion. So a little odd, but so far so good, and I'm hoping that they expand on it. But I really liked what was there. It's just that, you know, it kind of feels like it ended a little sooner than most of us might have been expecting. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt pretty abrupt. Paul, what's your take?
It's definitely smaller than you might imagine, but if we're comparing it to, say, Rise of Iron instead of Forsaken and Taken King, I think it's really good, and I think most veteran players are enjoying it. And there's, even if the story itself is pretty short, it seems like there's a lot to do, and they've jammed a whole bunch of stuff in there. And the nostalgia aspect of Returning to the Moon has been really fun, and I've really been enjoying it. And like, there's fix that could be improved, but overall I'm happy with it.
Yeah, me too. Brian,
I'm excited to be on the moon. As everybody's saying, the story felt like it was short and abrupt. I was hoping that they would I know there's a lot of teasings of things coming, but I was hoping they would tease like what the threat actually kind of looks like in some sort of way, but they didn't. It was just like, hey, they're talking to me, and it's me. It's my guardian that they're talking to me from. So I was just like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, otherwise I think it's great. There's a lot to do in there. But yeah, we'll see how it goes, because they have a huge like content calendar up through November. So there's still a lot to come. So
yeah, I give up on Skype. Paul, you're just going to be the tiny window from that for the rest of the show. So I'll wrap it up just sort of by saying, sorry to everybody and to Paul for the Skype connectivity issues. I don't know what's going on. We've done multiple shows with this, so sorry about that. But my take on Destiny 2 is that I like where it's at. I like that New Light is bringing in new Guardians. I like the story a lot. Like, I thought the story was really cool to see this stuff. We'll see how I feel about further playthroughs as I go forward. I'm very glad I'm not reviewing it. Like, there's so many systems and things and changes happening with this expansion that it's just a lot to take in. But I like where it's at, and I can't wait to see where the quests take me and what's going to happen with the Vex stuff, what's going to happen after the raid. Well, I was going to have you do the outro, but because of the weird connectivity issue, I think we'll just do it here in the studio. And thank you so much for joining us again. We'll have you on again when we figure out how to internet here at IGN. Okay.
Since these episodes air on Friday, we should probably like say that this is airing until we're shooting this episode before.
Do you think we should air it Friday or should we air it like tonight?
We could. Yeah, I'm just saying because you know, like if you know, Bungie says a bunch of stuff in the TWAB on Thursday.
We're gonna air this.
We're gonna like not talk about any of it if it's important.
No, I'm gonna put it up tonight. I'm gonna put it up tonight. Just so everybody knows, Fireteam Chat is airing Wednesday this week instead of Friday. I will do a social promo again for Friday at 5, so people know that it went up early. And then next week we will be back full, even more spoilers. We're gonna really get into Travis is gonna come back and join us and talk about his review and where he landed with everything. We'll all have more time with Armor 2.0. We'll have the raid to talk about and maybe
Vex offensive stuff.
Yeah, the Vex offensive stuff. So a lot going on. At the end of the show, we point. Paul, try and follow along if you can, if the internet's being okay.
He's doing all right.
And you want to do it with us?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I can't wait to have you back next week.
Love being here.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.